Let's pray. Lord, bless our kids to know you, to love you. Bless our teachers in these moments. Help them to communicate your truth clearly. Fill them with your spirit. Move, Lord, in your spirit, in our children's hearts, we pray. They may love you all of their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, we're looking into Matthew chapter 9, and we'll again head there as we head into the sermon. But last Monday and Tuesday, Carrie and I were at the Cove in Asheville, and it's really the first time we'd been there for any kind of an extended thing. And just to give you an idea, I mean, what a great trip it was. I mean, you know, we were heading into the cafeteria that night, and Carrie and I are kind of, you know, skeptical at times, and so she turns to me and says, well, what do you think is going to be for dinner? And I said, oh, I don't know, you know, baked chicken and maybe like, green beans and potatoes, you know. It turned out to be prime rib and shrimp. And Gigi Graham greeted us as we walked in, you know, greeting everybody as they walked in. And this was the thing they were doing, especially for pastors, and there was no charge for this dinner. I mean, this was an amazing thing. And our leadership team had kindly let me know that my favorite preacher, Jim Cimbala, would be there to have a talk, especially for pastors. And I took a couple days of study leave, and I would just say, man, how did you know how much I needed that? I mean, that was just really, the spiritual food was richer than the other. And, I mean, you know, after the first talk that Jim Cimbala gave, you know it's going to be good when your wife turns to you and says, well, that was just for you, wasn't it? And it really was. And the first talk was about having more faith regardless of your feelings. And that is one of the areas in my life where I am frequently under a construction. And, you know, I'm a person who at times in my life has struggled with depression. At other times, I find that sometimes God is speaking to me through my feelings because of certain giftedness he's poured into me through his spirit. And sometimes it takes me a while to sort all of that out. And basically, this is just, well, the first talk, again, about having more faith, essentially, regardless of your feelings, and we all have those places in our lives where we struggle with that, right? It might be an entirely different area where you're struggling, where you know you need to have more faith, but we're all there to some degree. God has often used questions and doubts in my life to bring me to Jesus, because I am a worrier and I am a skeptic by nature. When trials come, my mind starts going over all the possible things that could happen. You know, what if this happened? What if that happened? And you know, that's just not a good way to live. I love children's author Shel Silverstein's book, A Light in the Attic. It has this great poem in it. And you tell me if this doesn't strike a chord with you too. Last night, as I lay thinking here, some what-ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what-if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they close the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I get sick and die? What if I flunk the test? What if green hair grows on my chest? What if nobody likes me? What if a bolt of lightning strikes me? What if I don't grow taller? What if my head starts getting smaller? What if the fish won't bite? What if the wind tears up my kite? What if they start a war? What if my parents get divorced? What if the bus is late? What if my teeth don't grow in straight? What if I tear my pants? What if I never learn to dance? Everything seems swell. And then the nighttime what ifs strike again. Ever been there? I mean, we need to be honest about our weaknesses, especially in church, right? I mean, isn't that how you get to Jesus? Isn't that the way people came to him to begin with? And yet sometimes at church we play this funny game, you know, where we kind of cover all that up. Ruth Bell Graham, I saw a picture of it this past weekend, has a great epitaph. She saw a road sign once, and she liked it so much, she put it on her tombstone. Here it is. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. I love that. I mean, give her an amen for that, and thank you for your patience with me. But this morning, let's talk about having more faith, where it comes from, and how to get it. And let's start with these verses out of the Gospel of Matthew. And before we go there, let's pray again. Lord, bless us as we dive into your word, to take it to heart. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, as only you can. In Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus went out from there, two blind men followed him. If you look toward the screen on the right, it has the whole. Two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. And then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." According to your faith, let it be done to you. Those words should stop us. Let them sink in for a moment. Because they apply to you and me as well. This is a principle of the spiritual life. The more faith you have in him, the more you will see God move. Ah, but it's tricky. Because faith is not something that we sort of, you know, talk ourselves into and muster . Jesus talked about faith in small terms, right? Grain of mustard seed. So let's go there this morning. In his talk about relying on faith more than feeling, Jim Cimbala made some great points, and he said, it is faith that impresses Jesus, not capability. I mean, that's true, right? Nowhere in the New Testament do you see Jesus saying, "Wow, you know, what an amazing feat someone did," right? You never see him saying, "Oh, wow, you know." As a matter of fact, when he looked at some amazing things like the temple, he said, "Well, not one stone's going to remain on the other." But think about what he said on two different occasions, once about a centurion and another about a woman who had a demon-possessed daughter who came to him. He said, "Woman, you have great faith," right? That's what impressed him. Interesting, isn't it? But it's also true that a lack of faith affected Jesus as well, right? I mean, we see that. In his own hometown, which is interesting in its own right. Everyday life, right? Don't expect God to move in everyday life. do we? And this is what Matthew tells us, just a couple of verses before the verse we read. He, Jesus, did not do many miracles there. Why? Because of their lack of faith. Because of their lack of faith. Both of those thoughts should motivate us, shouldn't they? I mean, hey, don't you want to be the person that Jesus looks at and says, wow, you have great faith. Oh, man. I mean, that's what impresses him. And at the same time, none of us want to live the kind of life where Jesus doesn't do many miracles because we just don't believe they're going to happen. Now, of course, there are challenges with this because life is complex, and sometimes we pray about something and it may not be in the will of God that this very thing that we're praying about occurs. And as a pastor, I've seen that. I've seen that as people struggle, for example. Sometimes it's almost this desperation thing. You know, if I just have enough faith because, you know, this loved one, that happened very recently. I was with someone in the hospital and it was like, you know, the man ended up, he was a faithful believer. The Lord called him home. But, you know, his poor wife, at the very beginning of that, it was like, well, you know, God's going to heal him. God's going to heal him. You know, I just know God's going to heal him. And in one sense, the Lord did heal him. Called him home. But our perspective is very earthbound sometimes. Isn't it? So, the important thing is that you and I have to get to Jesus. And we have to get to Jesus in such a way that it's greater than you know, feelings that we try to, you know, bolster ourselves up into or grab onto in desperation. We've got to get to him in such a way that we recognize the promises of God and the character of God. You know, reason or feelings may say this or that won't happen because it ordinarily doesn't. But we don't serve an ordinary God. Now, he is God and he is sovereign, and sometimes things will happen that will absolutely level us, right? But even in the middle of that, he is able to come into that place. But our part is to place ourselves before him so that he can. Scripture says about him, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within him, within us, right? And Scripture also tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Could we stop for just a moment right now and pray about that? Lord, would you help us to please you? Would you tell him right now, Lord, please, I want to have faith. I want to please you. Would you help me? Let's continue. Now, if you're a what-if worrier by nature, don't let those words discourage you. I just don't have a lot of faith, you might say. I mean, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I've received him as my Savior, but when it comes to faith for everyday life, I struggle. You know what? This is where God's Word gives us so much encouragement. Couple of observations. One, there is such thing as a spiritual gift of faith, and some people have it. And it's sometimes challenging for us because we want to compare ourselves to those people. Well, if I only believed like so-and-so. No, don't go there. I mean, Peter asks at one point, well, you know, what about him, right? And Jesus basically says, well, if I want him to remain alive, he's talking about John, what's that to you? I mean, God pours different giftings into all of us, you know, and as I've often said, my mother had a gift of faith, and it used to drive me up a wall. So that might not be your thing, but it doesn't mean we can't get more. So you might say, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I've received him as my Savior. And God's word reminds us it is by grace we have been saved through faith. And this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So if you take a close look at that, that means that faith is something that God works in us, right? It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, what? Not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. And if God gives it, didn't he also say, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So can we ask the Holy Spirit for more faith? Absolutely, we can. And don't worry about, you know, how some people say things like, oh, don't ask God for patience. Oh, come on. God can give you patience without having to put you through a bunch of trials. I mean, but people say that, right? Oh, God's going to put you through all kinds of trials if you ask for patience. Well, maybe, but maybe not. You know, maybe he's just going to bless you with so much love in your heart and just being with him that, I mean, come on, right? We serve a God who's infinitely creative, and he can do so much. So why not ask him? Because I mention that because sometimes for more faith, oh, is God going to put me in a situation where I have to have more faith? Well, no, not necessarily. But don't you want to be closer to him? Don't you want to please Jesus? Isn't it a request God would love to answer? I really think it is. But if you're struggling to have more faith in a particular place or a particular situation in your life, you need to go to Jesus with that circumstance and wait before him. Just sit there before him. Try as best you can to take your eyes off of yourself. Put them on him. Worship him. Love him. Notice what these men did. Let's see, where did I put it? As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him. Have mercy on us, son David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done for you, right? Well, why did Jesus wait for them to go indoors? I mean, these guys are blind, you know? I mean, where's the door? I mean, I don't know. But the fact is, they had to get where he was in a quiet place. And I think that's often the same for us. Because Scripture also says, in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. And if we're so busy with all this other stuff, and if we're not getting together with him in our hearts in a quiet place, how are we really going to get more faith? I read a great quote from Andrew Murray about this. He said, no angel in heaven can give God as much honor as faith does, for out of the surrounding darkness in sin and poverty, faith still relies on God and expects from him the certain fulfillment of that which he has promised. So do you see that? Out of the surrounding darkness in sin and poverty, these blind men had to follow Jesus in the dark, right? Into a quiet place. And sometimes you and I have to do that, right? Because we may not be feeling much of anything. It's okay. We have the promises of God in His Word. We have the assurance of His character. And as you and I simply wait there before Him, He has ways of pouring Himself into us that will help us, precisely giving us what we need for the circumstances of our lives. Marie also said this: when anxious feelings multiply in you, and you fear for yourself and your work, go and bow down in silent meditation and adoration before your God as the faithful one. Then your whole spirit will become filled with the thoughts and the peace that spring up from this state. Go over all the assurances in the Scriptures so glorious and clear. The unchangeable one Himself will fulfill His promises. So do what these men did. Get desperate enough to understand that you need Jesus more than anything else. More than that circumstance working out, you need Him. And He has what you need in that circumstance. Just go to Him. And be before Him. You see, if we're not desperate, really, what good is faith? I mean, faith wants what only God can do, right? Isn't that what you want to see in your life? I want to see something where I can look at it and say, man, oh, you know, like watching a sunrise or you know, seeing the handiwork of God in other places in nature. You take a step back, whoa. Think about that in the places of our lives where we struggle. His Spirit can lead us to that place, but it starts with watching and waiting, doesn't it? And don't worry whether what you're asking about is in God's will. Don't worry about that. Just go to Him. And He'll work that out. He'll help you through that. He'll help you work that through, right? If it's not in His will, He'll help you. He'll show you. He'll comfort you. He'll guide you. He'll give you the strength to carry on as He gives you more of Himself. But oh, that's what we need. More of Him. You know, I think about what God did for Carrie when we were struggling with our son's addiction to heroin, and how she somehow believed that God was going to use him in ministry one day. How? I'll tell you, he didn't do that for me. He did other things for me. But for her, He gave her that gift that was a unique gift of faith in that moment. And He can do that for you and for me as well. Whatever it is we're struggling with. Again, we serve such a creative God. But our part is to say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm going to just worship you. And I need your help in this situation, but you've got to show me. is like Moses with the Israelites. We're not going up from here unless you go with us. And the problem is, so often, we just go on our own way, right? Without stopping first to say, Lord. And then we get off in directions of our own going. So let's leave it here. We will worry less if we worship more. And here, according to your faith, it shall be done for you. Now, if you don't have it, you know where to get it. Let's go to him now, shall we? May we pray. Lord, help us to pay attention to you. We don't want to miss it, what you want to do. Lord Jesus, there really is no one like you. There is nothing like what you can do. Lord, we want that. In those places where we're struggling to have more faith, oh Lord, help us to be yours. Because as we get with you, you will give us what we need. Thank you that you will, that you are faithful, that he who began a good work in us will carry it through to completion. Right now, maybe you've been far away from him. Maybe you've been off on your own thing. Don't miss this moment. The moment to come before him and say, Lord, here I am. I want to believe. Help my unbelief. That's a worthy prayer, isn't it? Help me to believe in you. Maybe you've never come to him before, or maybe, again, you've just been so far away, but you can come to him and you can say, Lord, oh, I do believe you died on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. Holy Spirit, come into me. Clean me up. Help me, God, to love you and to walk with you. I want you in my life, Lord. I want you in my life. And more than that, I want the life you can give. Because it's better than what I've made out of my own life. And if you wait before him and love him, oh, I promise you, he will love you back because he loved you first. Lord, thank you for the amazing gift of yourself, that you even pour your Spirit into our hearts to give us just what we need, to give us the strength to get through. And even though this world would tear us up at times, and sin and death are all around us, you said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so we take heart in you. And we just love you. And we sit quietly before you. We're going to finish out the service by singing our last hymn as... something of a prayer. It starts with a scripture verse, and then it just continue to pray it as we sing it.